Today we begin the worship portion of Foundations. We've been tracking through, praying through the Bible. We did 4 weeks of that. We did praying, and then we walked through 4 weeks of that. And then this last Sunday we had a prayer meeting, which was legit. And so well done to you all for needing to have a clock on that, because we are killing it. So we've kind of tracked through that. And what that leads us to is, as we learn how to read the Bible, as we learn how to pray the Bible, those two things cause us to respond to God. And our response to God is what's known as worship. And so one of the things with worship is we often will limit it to the song part of the service. Like, this part of the service is not worship. No, it's the song part. The praying part of service isn't worship. No, that's the song part. And so what we want to do is we want, as the last couple of times, to say your preconceived understanding of worship, just erase that from your memory, like you're formatting your hard drive. And we're going to now kind of tell you what worship is, and to say that it's not even a biblical term. It's very secular in origin. And so worship isn't something that the church has made. Worship is something that we do as people. And so we're going to throw up a bottom line for you. It's one thing if you get nothing from our chat today. It's this, and it's this three-word combo of I already worship. I already worship. And then once we give you the blank up top, we're going to hit you with some reasons why. So I already worship, and then the top blank for you is everybody worships. And that's how you know you already worship, is because everybody worships. As we define worship, we're going to put it really simply like this. Worship's how we respond to what we value most. So whatever you value, whatever you love, whatever you have affection for, whatever you say, this is important to me, how you respond to that thing is what's known as worship. And so you have certain things that you don't worship very well to, probably homework's on the list, that you don't worship very well to homework, but there are other things that are really high on the list that you do worship well to. And so as we track worship, we see it's not something that goes on in here, and it's not just something we see, you know, some places. The next point we've got for you is we see worship everywhere. We see worship everywhere. We're in St. Louis, we call it everywhere. All right, so we see worship everywhere. And we're going to go through this little 9-part deal of what's worshiped in our culture. And then I think as we do that, hopefully that'll zero in on you. So what's worshiped? How do we worship? What do we see things being worshiped? The first thing we have and we see is midnight releases of important movies kind of cause worship to happen, the most notable of which is Star Wars, because Star Wars will re-release itself every 5 to 7 years. We'll play the exact same thing, but we'll tell you it's even better and more awesome with small little segments that Star Wars guy gets, but no one else notices. And at midnight release of Star Wars movies, it's ridiculous in there. I mean, grown men will go into costume like they're 8 again and will show up to watch this movie in a stormtrooper helmet that doesn't really benefit watching the movie at all. But they look really awesome in the midst of it. Guys will dress up like Sith Lords and whatever else, yada, yada. Did that next Twilight come out already? Or is it coming out? Ho! Worship. All right, so the next Twilight movie is going to be coming out, and so even there, people are going to dress up like vampires and werewolves and girls who are going to get pregnant by a vampire and those sorts of things. That's a sneak peek, all right? Spoiler alert. So those things, you'll see that's a very worshipful experience. Why? Because people in hours beforehand of anticipation will show up and will dialogue with random strangers about how awesome this next movie is going to be, even if they don't see it. The midnight release of video games, this season's really important to video games because there's a couple big ones that have come out. Most notable, at least from what Facebook tells me, Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, and Skyrim. Those are the three games that have seemed to like change the landscape of the world. The first two have to do with blowing stuff up. The next one has to do with, you know, ancient folklore and traveling around a mystic world. So the midnight release of video games, you can tell that worship's going on this side, because guys will stand it hours beforehand, and girls, I don't want to be sexist about it, guys and girls alike will stand hours beforehand waiting to buy a video game to travel home to play video game for the whole night, and a lot of guys were really thankful that school got canceled on Friday because they were just able to waste their life on a video game. And I know this to be true because there was much anticipation that in order to beat the game, very simplistically, you'd have to dedicate 30 hours of your life to it. But if you wanted to beat it in a total fashion, you'd have to give 200 hours. And to say that there was joy about this, I get 200 hours to do this. If you go to concerts across the country, that's a very worshipful experience because anytime, you know, headlining musician shows up, there's all screaming and fanfare and ruckusness. And so one of the events that's most well known to me, because I love going to concerts to watch it, was I went to a Michael Bublé show a couple months ago. I like to romance my lady, and so he helps to set the mood. So we went to this concert, and I knew a bunch of people who were there. I knew a bunch of different folks that I knew who were there at this concert. And the only reason this is so vivid in my brain is because it's so awesome. But I knew a couple of our students who were going, and so I, up to that point, had not seen them. But as I was just kind of scanning the crowd, because I knew Mike was going to come out again and sing some more songs, and he left people hanging, not singing his best ones. And so as he comes back out, one of his most popular songs comes on, and as I panned, right in my front view was this group of students that I had known was there, and all of them responded the same way with like, "Oh my God!" And there was this back and forth, "Dear God, do you know what's happening to us right now?" And he's hundreds of feet away, right? But it's, "Wah! Wah! Wah!" And so that goes down at concerts. Man, I want to go to a Justin Bieber show so bad. So bad. And I know the fellas want to incriminate me on that. But man, I want to go so bad because that mess is worship for like preteen girl. And then teenage girl. And then their moms who secretly listen to the music but want to go to be a chaperone. It's all worship for those. Because man, everything I know about the Biebs, man, that guy's got a worship crew. And so I'd love to go to that one time. When you see TV shows premiere, and there's a lot of worship to that. I have a TV show that I like a lot. It's called The Walking Dead. It's honestly, critics say it's the best show on television. I can't recommend it, but I do love it. And so what I did to celebrate beforehand is I watched every show that they had released up to that point before the first one began. And then when I watched the latest one, it was great. Rachel loves that I watched that show. But if I watched Rachel Zoe with her, I can watch The Walking Dead and she could love it. All right, so TV shows have that aspect about them. Boyfriends and girlfriends will have worship to it too. Again, being our response to what we love the most, because you'll see when someone gets a boyfriend or a girlfriend or loses one, there's this thing that happens. And you can usually tell because there's all these photos that start popping up. And one of the things I hate about Facebook the most right now is apparently the photograph is the most notable event in a person's life, because that's the junk you see all the time. So if you take a picture with you and your boo, everybody's going to know because that's the first thing that pops to the top. And you just see random photos being taken that you can't stage it unless you stage it. And then I know people who do stage it because they'll just take the picture and go, "Wait, no. So at the Chiefs game Sunday, which the Dolphins dominated in, one of the things that happened, the girl in front of me started talking all this trash. Like she was a little bit inebriated by that point. But she wanted to start talking trash to me. And here's one of the things I know about myself. When it comes to verbal sparring, I can beat most everyone. So I found it really entertaining that she wanted to enter in, because I was like, "You don't know what you're getting into. And you're sauced. I'm going to own this." So we just kind of let it ride. And she started, you know, saying different stuff about it. Well, then when the second half came and the Dolphins were up 21-3, she started taking pictures with her phone, with her boyfriend. And you could tell her boyfriend was just ticked, right? Because she had run her mouth the whole time. And now I just get to sit behind, not say anything. And he knows I'm behind him. Like, he knows I'm sitting back in my seat. I'm enjoying my Coke. I'm just having a great time. And he knows that Dolphins guy behind me, he's got a smug grin on his face. And it was true. I just sat behind. Yeah. Yeah, Dolphins. Yeah. Now, see, there's a big distinction between that and screaming, because I could scream and that wouldn't be as annoying. But what's even more annoying is I'm controlling myself in my joy right now, and we're dominating you. So you'll see that, and that's boyfriends and girlfriends. Celebrities are that way because go shopping and you'll see that there's a way that people can just look at what celebrities are doing to see, you know, that Scarlett's, you know, put on 10 pounds and she looks terrible in a bathing suit, or, you know, yeah, Heidi Klum had a 7th baby and she still looks like a supermodel. And there's all these back and forth. The fellas have no idea, but the girls are like, "Ain't that true?" So there's this back and forth between all of that. And I find, as comic books are to guys and as sports magazines are to girls, as sports magazines are to guys, celebrity magazines are to girls, that's your bathroom leisure reading. I don't care about anything, blah, 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 and you'll read through that. Possessions, you'll see that we can worship based on possessions because that'll become a, I got a car, I got an Xbox, I got a gold watch, whatever you got, that becomes your, I got it. And so possession will do that. Money will do that because anytime we get money, we start to celebrate the fact that we have money. And I found when I was really young, I'd get $100 and I'd feel like I'm a rapper. I just want to throw it in the air and just let it rain on me. Now I get $100 and I'm like, great, that pays utilities, at least 75% of it. And so there's just this transition in money that starts to happen. And then sporting events around the world. Today, there will be worship. 70,000 fans will gather together in stadiums and will worship. NBA's out, so that's not there. But college football, college basketball, football, all of those things will cause worship because people will paint their bodies to go show their love and affection for a sports team. That will never talk to them. That will never see them. That will never acknowledge them, but will paint their bodies, will write some text with their friends that will be able to be shown on television for a split second. They say that the greatest tailgate in all the world happens at Ole Miss, which is a college team. And what they say at Ole Miss is that you can't start tailgating until Friday. And so Thursday night at 8 p.m. is when this section of the campus will get shut down for tailgating. And literally, people will wait for hours on the side to be able to get a chance to run over to get their spot to tailgate the next morning. And so you got fools who will wait starting Friday morning for a spot in line to get a place to put up a tent to show up the next day to tailgate. And that happens a couple times a year. And that's like the joy of their week. Like their world would fall apart if it wasn't for tailgating. And so however this fits into you, there may be something that you have more love and affection for. Maybe it's being a part of the debate team or the chess team or something. But your world has a way of revolving around something. And how you respond to that something is how you worship. And then so the question we've got for you in the next blank is, what do I worship? What do I worship? There's a cool book called Worship Matters that we had our worship team read a couple years ago. One of the quotes in it by this guy named Bob Coughlin says, what we love most will determine what we genuinely worship. And so whatever is top of the list for you in regards to love, however you respond to that is your genuine worship. And so what we're going to try to do is to frame, if you're going to worship anything, if anything is deserving of your top love, top affection, top response, if anything is deserving of that, God is. And because all of those other things are fleeting. Like, I can talk trash about the Dolphins right now because at least they beat the Chiefs, but they're 1-7. And they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. If it wasn't for Peyton Manning being injured, we would be the worst team in the NFL. And so, do the Dolphins deserve my utmost love and affection? Yes, for you, but no, not in real life. Does money deserve it? No. Even put my spouse up there. Is Rachel deserving of my utmost love and affection? No. Why? She's going to disappoint me. She's going to get on my nerves. She's going to aggravate the ever-living out of me. There are going to be times where she is just going to push the button and it's going to drive me crazy. Is Jude deserving of my utmost love and affection? Like, I can live vicariously through him. Like, I can train him up to do all the things that I wish my parents would have done for me so I could have succeeded like I wanted to. Jude, you will play football and you will dominate. So I'm going to train him up from 4. Here's how you take a tackle. Like, come get your dad. Stiff arm. Don't come weak. Like, I could do that and train him up and I could live my life through Jude. But ultimately, man, Jude's going to disappoint me. There's going to be days where he's going to have to get the business end of my right hand. There's going to be days where he's going to get to get great hugs. But Jude is going to disappoint me. So is Jude worth my utmost love and affection? No. And so what we're going to try to do is this next point, we're going to put it up there for you. And this is how we're going to frame the rest of our conversation about worship. It's this next point, worship God. Worship God. Ultimately, he's the one who doesn't disappoint. He's the one who doesn't let down. He's the one who never fails, never quits, never runs out on me. That went there. So worship God. Now, when it comes to the worship of God, you'll always hear people say, well, I don't worship like that. I don't worship like this. And one of the things I would always say is I wasn't a very eccentric worship person. Like, I was never the guy who got crazy about worship. I would be very soft about it. Sometimes I'd do a double hand, single hand, chest tap. Maybe I'd go praise ninja down low. Sometimes I do that way. One of the things I've recently developed is a rhythmic bob. That I do that, and sometimes when I'm really grooving, I'll bite my lip. Because I would have found myself dancing before, and anytime you're really getting it when you're dancing, you kind of bite your lip a little bit just because you're getting it. And so sometimes you'll find me just, because I want to do so much more, but I know it's not allowed here. And so I'll just, yeah. Like if I start seawalking and throwing up gang signs, everybody will be confused. So people will say, I don't worship like that. Now, if we put it in the context of worship is how you respond to what you love most, every one of us has this person on the inside. And the way that I prove it is a couple Thanksgivings ago, I was back in Colorado, and I went to a hockey game with a friend of mine. They were playing an arch rival. And the way hockey works is if it goes to overtime, they'll play an overtime period, and then it'll go to a shootout, which is the most intense period of sports in all of sports. And so there's this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and the stadium is just tense. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's a home game, and so everybody's all on the same team except for the losers. And so it's just like, So it comes down to three guys go, and if someone wins or whoever has the most in that three guys, it'll end. Or if no one has it, they'll just go 1-1-1-1-1. So the captain of the team, his name is Joe Sakic. He's one of the greatest hockey players of all time. He's the last guy to go. He's a home guy. And so my friends and I are sitting there, and they'll put the puck down, and he'll come out and skate out, and they're playing music and get hype, and and then it just goes silent. So as soon as he approaches the puck, it goes quiet. So it's, and we watched him skate up, and he did a move, and then he scored. And in that moment, it was ridiculous. I mean, I was, and my friend had a camera, and I went back and reviewed this because the only place I could find it was on MySpace, which shows how old this was. But it goes, and then as he's filming it in his camera, you could see it bouncing, and then it pans around, and you can see my ugly mug just going. It's very Monsters Incorporated of me, but, and so I was just getting it. And for the next, like, I don't know, 3 hours driving home and all of that, I was just like, this is the greatest. And then you have those moments where, oh, that's the greatest. That's how you worship, that event. And so for me, there's times in church where I just don't, there's times where that moment isn't in there, but that's like the core of me, the core of Justin, that's how I worship. And whatever that premier response for you is, when you say, here's the greatest response I've ever given to anything, at your core, that's who you are when you worship. Now you may put that in check when you come into church. You may do any number of things to kind of bridle that, but when it comes to worship, that's your worship right there. And my response to you is that should be how we respond to God. Because that hockey game is like so far in the distant memory now, and so many things have happened since then. Yeah, it's a great moment and it's fun for me to recall it, but it lasted for but a moment. And then something else beat it later. And there's certain things that'll just always get trumped. So you have these like gigantic moments in your life, and then it gets trumped by the next gigantic moment. And the next gigantic moment, and then the next gigantic moment. And so in this season of life, you're going to be matched with gigantic moments. You're going to graduate from high school, gigantic moment. I mean, you're going to think that that's the greatest day of your life. You're going to be convinced that you're going to change the world because every, you know, person's going to say in their speech, we're the class to change the world. The world's been waiting on us. Everyone with bated breath has been waiting for us to arrive. And so you're going to graduate on cloud 97. You're just going to be walking out and you see like throw your hat and skip around and get dressed up and then the next couple months will ensue. And then you'll graduate from college and that'll be, oh, yes, I'm so awesome. The world has been waiting for me. Woo! And then 6 months later, you're going to have to pay that student loan back unless you got a scholarship, which get one. But you're going to be paying those debts back in 6 months. You'll get married and then you're going to be like, my gosh, I'm married. And then the first, you know, weeks or so, however long your honeymoon is, I mean, it's just the most ridiculous time. Especially if you go all-inclusive, which save up for that, because that's the best. Like, you take a flight, you go to a resort, they drive you in like it's Jurassic Park, you get there, never have to leave, you get to go to 9 restaurants and eat as much as you want to, People are constantly coming up asking, would you like this beverage? Would you like this beverage? Can we get you some food? What would you like, sir? And you're just like, oh, this is awesome. You go to your room and it's the bed's made every day. There's roses everywhere. You got a jacuzzi in your bedroom. Like, that's normal. You know, it's just all of these things that's just like, oh, I love this. And then you go back home and you move into your house. And there's not, I mean, honestly, after that, there's not a ton of gigantic moments until you have a baby. And then you have a baby and you're like, what? Gosh, little John is always there. you have these babies, and then that for you is so crazy. Like, you're tired, you're exhausted as a guy, and then, ladies, you're in another world, another universe. But don't worry, your body will compensate hormonally for you to be able to match that, but Lord help you. And so there's that aspect. So you're sitting in the hospital room, and people are waiting on you, and like, your wife's getting all this great care, and you as a husband will be sitting in a chair that's not built to lay in, especially for me. Like, compact cars and hospital beds are not built for dudes who are 6'3". Like, I don't know what male they tested to say it works, but that chair, I'm laying like this, and I think it's awesome. Like, I'm just laying in this bed. I'm so happy to be here. You know, so you have a baby, and it's, and then after that, honestly, the great moments kind of settle down a little bit. I mean, yeah, you'll have more babies, and yeah, you'll do stuff, but man, greater moments at this point in my life, I found they're fewer and farer betweener. Not even appropriate English, but it works. So they just start to taper off a little bit. And what will happen for us as people that we will constantly pursue something better because at our core, we're built to worship. And so since you're built that way, you're going to pursue bigger, better, more grander because you want it to be bigger, better, and grander. And you're always going to pursue that and love that and go for that. And then the contention would be that, man, if Christ is the one in whom you worship, he always trumps everything. And even just to be refreshed in his goodness to you causes you to worship. And even to think of the ways that he's been able to be there for you has caused you to worship. And so the last blank we've got for you today is he's worthy. We worship God because he's worthy. You may be wondering why I'm going a little over today. You'll find out in a second. I'm being nice to you, trust me. All right, so we're going to read Psalm 66. If you have a Bible, you can open up there. It's on page 411 for the Bibles we use, but we're going to read Psalm 66. We're going to take a moment to pause at all the Selahs because the Bible wants us to pause there. And so imagine God just dropping the mic and walking away. So Psalm 66, here's what it says. We'll put it on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. Dang. All the earth worships you and sings praise to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. This is really uplifting. We went through the fire and through water, yet you have brought us out of a place of abundance, to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Man, if you were to walk through each of those, man, I'd say we could spend the next, you know, half an hour or so just being able to worship and to go through that. I was going to walk through some different names of God, but I think we can skip that for today. But to say there's reason in all of this for us to be able to worship. Man, the first part says that and all the awesome deeds of the Lord and all the awesome ways of God and all the awesome places of God, he's proven himself worthy to be worshiped. And then he goes on to say that, man, even generations before us, what they knew of God and what he did for us, that means he's worthy to worship. And then he goes on to say that, man, even in our hardest times and our worst times and our most awful times, he was there for us, lifted us up out of that, and for that reason, he's worthy of worship. And then he goes on to say, man, everyone come and gather around and hear the people of God worship God. Watch the things we do for God. See the things we do for God. And here's what worship is. For us, over the next couple of weeks, one of the things we want to do in order to remove people leading you in songs and all of that as part of your heart, we're going to not have a band up here. We're not going to have music up here. There's going to be nothing in here except for you. And the way that we're going to play this out is, man, I think last year that this really changed the game for us in a lot of ways. But the question we're always going to ask is, we're going to give you until 10 to worship. And then at the end of it, we're going to ask, have you worshiped? Because it's easy if Tanner's up here screaming his guts out to worship. It's easy for any of those things for us just to sing along and for us to be convinced of that. But honestly, in your heart, there's more for you in regards to worship than just somebody leading you in a song. And so the leaders are going to like move around the room and they're not going to do jack. Like, memo to leaders, don't do jack. So you're going to see that there's going to be like physical need to restrain themselves, hopefully. Hopefully they're not like falling asleep on themselves. You know, you may start hearing some on the inside because we all got a little gospel in there. You may hear that, there's not going to be nothing. And I've asked Tanner, I said, Tanner, don't sing. It's one of the things with like Tanner's, man, the guy's got pipes and you can hear him from a distance. And so what's happening is Tanner would start singing, right? And everybody would start singing with Tanner. Oh, okay. So I was like, Tanner, so that's going to be there. And apart from that, we're going to rip it. Now, this has often been called silent worship. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be quiet. It's probably going to be because we're all going to feel awkward, but it's not supposed to be quiet. There should be as much joy in this moment for us as any other moment. So let me help you with a couple temptations. One, we're going to ask you to stand until 10. And that's going to be the hardest for you because immediately when silence comes, your body starts triggering all these things for you. So you're going to feel like, oh, I've got to pee so bad right now. Oh, don't. No, we will block the door. And if your eyes aren't yellow, okay? So you're going to be asked to stay in here because it's going to create in you this awkwardness. You may feel like you're going to vomit. You won't, unless you make yourself vomit. Don't vomit. You're going to feel your knees start to get weak because you're going to wonder, like, what am I supposed to do now? And your instinct is going to be to lock your knees. Don't do that. Wedding practice. Let them bob a little bit, all right? You lock them up, you're going to pass out, and we're going to know it's not Jesus, all right? So don't lock them up. Let them bob, all right? Because you start getting a little wobble wobble, we're going to have to come over and grab you before you shake it. All right. God help us. So, all right. So we're going to ask you to stand. Feel free to move. Feel free to go. And don't be concerned with what everybody else does. Because you're going to feel like when everybody else is silent, that the reason for you to be silent is because everyone else is. I would say, man, don't restrain your worship. Don't restrain your heart. Don't restrain your affections, man, but let those rip. I have an awful voice, God awful. And if I wasn't restraining myself for the sake of leadership, I would sing out terrible. It might start off quiet, but then I might let it go. And so for you, man, just let it rip. Who gives a care? Because I think one of the most unfortunate things is that Christian people are ashamed to respond in a Christian manner in a Christian house. I think that that's a terrible thing, that the people of God would be ashamed to respond as the people of God in the house of God because of other people of God. What? All right, so stand on your feet. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to worship together. Yes. All right, so we can lift our hands. You can do whatever you want to. Feel free to move. The leaders will be available to pray for you. But avoid the temptation to just constantly seek something, man. Let this be a moment of worship for you, all right? So Jesus, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, we thank you for grace and for truth. God, we thank you that you haven't abandoned us to the pit, but that, God, you've raised us up to new life. And so, Jesus, I pray that as this morning we get away from all of the other things that could cause us to worship you, that, God, as you investigate our heart, as you look into the depths of our heart, God, as you awaken the cry of our heart, God, I ask that this house would be full of worship this morning, that it wouldn't be a room that's filled with the sound of the lights or filled with the sound of the air conditioner, but that, God, it would be a room that's filled with the people of God responding with love, joy, and affection to the one who saved him. And so, Jesus, as we worship, as we sing, as we pray, as we lift our voices together, God, would you be glorified. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.